I think that if we had immediately from the get-go just started taking home everything that we made, Guru Peach wouldn't be what it is today. I personally wouldn't have learned the lesson of how powerful, you know, retained earnings in a business can actually be. Finding the right people that care about what we're doing, why we're doing it. It's more important to me that the business that we have is sustainable. We have the potential to really do something with that money.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm Jeff Holman, your host. I'm with Intellectual Strategies, a law firm that helps small businesses grow, and we provide a fractional legal team to grow with you as you grow. And so I get the opportunity to bring in some CEOs and talk with them about their growth experiences and the insights and kind of reflection and perspectives that they've gained along the way. And I'm really excited to have Lindsay Prater here with Groovy Peach. Lindsay, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. I'm already having a great time. I can't wait to dive back into more conversation.
Yeah, we had some good preliminary icebreaker questions, didn't we? I learned some stuff. We've known each other for a year or two now, outside of the podcast, and I've really admired the way that you've been building your business and the, you know, you've come. I've seen just from my perspective. And again, it's limited contact in some ways, but from my perspective, I've seen you deal with things and I've asked questions about your business and you've got these answers and you're doing things that have, to be honest, have surprised me that you're already doing as much as you are. Do you get that very often that you're like, you're talking to people and they're like, you've already done this? You're already here? Is that common or is it just me?
Yeah, that's pretty common. It's probably the most commonly surprising thing people, you have 3 stores in how long has it been, like 3 years?
Yeah.
I get a lot. And thank you.
No, I think it speaks to your level of competence and, you know, your thoughtfulness. When we talked before, you mentioned you're very much a strategic thinker, a future thinker person. And I have to say, when I heard that, I was only a slightly surprised. And I'm like, there's probably a ton of strategic thinking, but there's a ton of execution happening too, right?
There's so much of both. Yes.
Yeah. Well, tell me, here's the question I want to lead with. Is there a moment, and we'll kind of backtrack from here, but is there a moment in the business when you thought to yourself, or maybe it was an emotional response, and you just thought or felt, I think we're going to make it. I think this is working. Do you remember a moment like that?
There's been a few moments like that. The very first one, and I think about this often, we started Groovy Peach, never intending for it to become a business that we thought we would scale or hire employees to work with us and for us. And about 7 months in, 6 months into the business starting, we had not spent a dime of any of our earnings. And we had a pretty good war chest at that point. And we were not slowing down in our appointments. We were booking out for weeks and weeks, and we had been doing that, you know, since the beginning of the business, and realized that the service that we were providing was really meaningful to people. Mm-hmm. And that by that point, we had also saved so much money that we had the potential to really do something with that money, and not have to borrow. And that was a moment for me that felt really cool. I was really proud of the work that we had done and everything we'd accomplished, and really, really energized by the thought of what a bootstrapped business could be like and feel like. And so far, it's been a lot of work always.
Well, let's back up a little bit if I can, because I haven't explained, but Groovy Peach is a piercing studio, right? You guys do ear piercing, maybe other piercings, but it's really just piercings, right? It's this a kind of a fun, upbeat. I don't know. You describe it. I have words, but they're probably outdated words. What are the words you would describe?
Words that other people use to describe it, because it's a good signal to me. Like, are people understanding the vision and the concept of who we are and why we're doing what we're doing? But yeah, everything you said. So really, I feel like Groovy Peach is more of an experiential business than just straight up a service business. We provide a service and we provide goods like the earrings that we sell. But really, at the end of the day, we want to be the studio that people come to for their piercings that are monumental in their life, that represent like a big milestone, like a first ear piercing, you know, for a child, or an ear piercing that you get maybe after a bad breakup or graduating, you know, from high school or college or something like that. And most people, I have, you know, if you look at my ear, I've got a lot of piercings on my ears. Most people don't wind up with 20 piercings on their ears. And so it really is such a big deal for people to come get an ear piercing. And I talk to so many clients, and I'm included here. I had my first ear piercing at the mall at Claire's.
Yeah.
With a piercing gun, and, you know, people walking by, and I'm nervous, and it was not the experience that it could have been. And that's what we set out to do with Groovy Peach, was just not focus on doing every single piercing we could possibly do. We don't pierce all the body parts. We focus on ears, and we focus on the experience. And so.
That I know of, I have no piercings anywhere. So I've never been through this. I've got daughters who have, you know, pierced ears and stuff. But what made you say to yourselves, you know, I think this could be different? Like, why not just let the, you know, the Claires of the world continue to do what they do without creating a different experience?
That's another really good question. So my business partner is my little sister. And she and I are, and always have been, very interested in fashion in general and in ear piercings. And we had a few, and we'd had experiences at the mall, you know, like at Claire's or at tattoo studios that you go to, that are a very different experience than what you get at Groovy Peach. And so one day she had, and both of us are very entrepreneurial spirited and minded, and we're always tossing around business ideas. And one day she said, I think we should start a piercing business. And one of the reasons why that made sense was because I have a lot of experience working in the medical field.
Okay.
And I had previously started IVs and drawn blood and all sorts of things. And so the thought of ear, I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I could actually pierce ears. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of started that out in that little tiny salon suite space, thinking it would just be a few extra hours after school. And I was not ever setting out to be the piercer that knows how to pierce every single body part. I just wanted to be good at, you know, at ear piercings and have a little bit of extra income and something else outside of being a mom. And I connect with people really well. That's another part of who I am. And I just love people, talking to them, getting to know them. And so really quickly on, I just realized, I don't think I saw that coming, but very quickly on, we could recognize that this was such a big deal to people. And when we could provide a space where they felt so supported and understood, and they felt like they had a friend who was leading them through this experience of getting an ear piercing, it just felt good and it was rewarding. And that's, I would say that's the moment when I was like, oh, you know, some planning on this, but that's where that came from.
Yeah. And you've grown that with your sister and your team to now three studios. Is that right?
Yeah. We have three studios and we have 18 employees including us.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And you're flying to China to go get your product. We talked about that a little bit, right? Were you just at the Canton Fair? Is that where you had gone?
No,
or were you somewhere else?
We didn't even go to the Canton Fair. We went to a few different jewelry markets, and feel like I could just spend so many more days in jewelry markets. There's so many of those.
Was that like heaven, being an ear piercer and going to somewhere in China that is just jewelry? Are these like large, you know, buildings just full of all the jewelry you could ever think of? Is that what this is?
Just a quick note about our guests. I host the Breakout CEO podcast to share behind the scenes insights from scaling businesses. As an attorney, I see the real challenges leaders face long before success becomes public. But client stories have to stay confidential. So we invite guest CEOs to share their own moments of struggle and success. I'm so grateful to our guests and my team at Intellectual Strategies for making this show possible. Now, let's get back to the show.
If you've been to China, you would understand exactly what it is, like a huge building, and there's floors and floors and floors, and on each floor, just so many individual businesses and little tiny stores in between, and you just shop and shop and shop and shop.
which cities were you in? I know different cities in China have different kind of.
We were kind of, mostly in Guangzhou.
You could have gone to the Canton Fair if you'd wanted to.
Yeah, the Canton Fair was in Guangzhou.
Yeah.
They don't have a whole lot of the type of jewelry that we were looking for at the Canton Fair, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
We flung back for a day to see what was up, but it was not very relevant. And it was kind of surprising, but they didn't have a whole lot of jewelry because we were over there looking for different types of jewelry, right? There's piercing grade jewelry that's essential for a wound that's healing in your ear. And then there's fashion jewelry that you kind of buy anywhere.
Okay.
And that's where you can put in like a healed piercing. And those are two very different types of jewelry.
Oh, okay. That makes sense when you say it. I wouldn't have thought it myself. So going to China, you've been there before on a short layover, you said earlier, but spending 2 weeks there, like did that open your perspective at all to anything new for the business? I mean, you've bought from China in the past, but going there, talking to the suppliers, how did that experience, you know, maybe influence your outlook?
It totally influenced my outlook in the sense of I realized how deep of a level of partnership there is to be had with some of the vendors we've already been using. And it's one thing to buy things from them and never have met them. I've had some jewelry customization in the past. But to meet these people in real life, and, you know, I rode in one of their cars. We went out to dinner. Like, we got to know them on a pretty personal level, and they are just as excited about partnering with us as we are with them. And I think there's a lot of upside on both sides for them, and to think through how meaningful that is for me and them is pretty neat, you know. There's a lot of upside for our business to not have a middleman and to have a partner that can make exactly what we want and do it quickly.
Well, I'm excited. We may have to talk offline. I'd love to hear more about what you did in China and some of the plans you have that might be, you know, maybe more confidential things if you want to share them at some point. Not public on the show, but
hey, I would love that.
Going to China. So one thing that when I went to China for the first time, flew into Hong Kong, went to Shenzhen, flew up to Shanghai, and everywhere I looked, I remember thinking, how is this so big? How do so many people live here? How do they have so many buildings? Like, and the example I used was, you know, an apartment complex here in Utah is like a large one is maybe like 8 four-story buildings with 12 units in a building, and, you know, it kind of sprawls out over a couple acres of land. When you go to China or Hong Kong, you're like, oh, there's 12 50-story buildings all in a cluster. And that's one of dozens and dozens of you know, residential buildings that are everywhere. And I just like the scale of this is just different. I mean, it's hard to explain until you see it, I think. Did you have a similar experience, or was there anything that stood out to you going over there and just saying, man, how would I have known this if I hadn't been here?
No, completely. I think the scale is still hard to comprehend even when you're there in it, because as far as you can see, it's dozens and dozens and dozens. And when you think about that, I don't know why we didn't go to Shenzhen. I'm so upset with myself. We did spend a couple of days in Hong Kong.
Oh, good.
Shenzhen's right there in the middle. But when you think about that, on top of so many other huge cities just in China,
yeah,
it's very hard to really conceptualize just how many people are there.
Did you do any shopping in Hong Kong? I don't do much shopping myself when I travel, but I think Hong Kong has somewhat of a fashion scene, don't they?
Yeah, and yes, we did quite a bit of shopping. I got a nice watch in Hong Kong. I loved Hong Kong a lot, and we did a lot of shopping in Guangzhou too. I came home. We checked 11 bags coming home, Jeff. We shopped and shopped and shopped, and we brought a lot of stuff home for Groovy Peach, and then of course I brought home a lot of stuff for myself.
Well, I may or may not have had a very unique shopping experience when I went to Guangzhou. Some people said, "Hey, I want to buy some name brand bags, but I want to buy them from not name brand prices." And I found myself at one point in a little room where I was locked in with 30 or 40 other people. I'm like, I'm not sure I want to be here. This isn't my place, but interesting experience nonetheless.
I had a couple of experiences like that, and I loved it. I was happy to be locked in.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Tell me, you got the three studios with Groovy Peach. You got your 18 employees, and your sister's your partner. What have been some of the milestone growth moments for you in this business?
Some of the, like I said, I touched on that just a minute ago. Kind of, 6 months into just heads down working so hard on the business and just trying to focus on getting as many clients through the door and booking as many appointments as we could and doing it in a really good way. Stopping to think, okay, what do we want to do from here? Do we want to keep doing the same thing or should we scale the business?
Well, and you mentioned too, I didn't touch on this anymore, but you mentioned that you would save, you'd just not spent anything, right? Not paid yourselves anything from that, which is kind of unique. Not everybody has that opportunity, but even somebody who doesn't have to pay themselves from their business initially, like that's maybe isn't the choice most people would make. They'd be like, I made this money. I'm going to go, go enjoy it. What made you guys decide to just leave it there? Did you have kind of this inkling that maybe we'll grow something much bigger, or was it a safety thing? That's not a typical decision that a lot of people would do when they start to make money.
It was, these are interesting questions. That it was a combination of, I would always recommend having an operating agreement when you start a business with somebody. Sometimes though, when I always say Groovy Peach was like started in an iMessage, and none of us really were thinking that it would become a business that we had to worry about. But so some of it was, we had not worked out the mechanics of how we fairly split money up. So we just kept.
So it's like, so you had people that were maybe splitting the booth fee and coming in at different times to do the piercing, or were you doing all the piercing and other people were doing other functions?
My sister and I were doing all of the piercings. We didn't hire anyone until we were a year into business. And so at the start, we were just doing all the piercings. And the way that we made it fair was we all just worked the same amount of hours and tried to split it up as the work evenly as possible. And then the business covered our overhead, like our rent and our supplies. So it was pretty easy to manage that way. And we didn't work a whole lot. It was just a couple days a week. It wasn't anything of a huge commitment.
So it sounds like maybe the result of just not taking a lot out of the business initially was, if for no other reason, not having worked out the details about how to do that exactly, right?
Yeah,
and maybe not needing it right in the moment.
And then,
How did that set you up for maybe the next stage of your business?
For me personally, and I'll speak just for myself, it showed me that it is really possible to save money in the business. And it showed me that I think that if we had immediately from the get-go just started taking home everything that we made, Groovy Peach wouldn't be what it is today. And I personally wouldn't have learned the lesson of how powerful, retained earnings in a business can actually be. And it's forever changed my outlook with just what is possible in business and entrepreneurship. And I think a lot of people think that to start a business, you have to immediately go to the bank and get a huge loan and spend a huge amount of money up front. And it forever changed the way I think, where, if I have friends or family that are thinking about a business, and a lot of times I'm like, why don't you just do a small test and see how it goes, rather than thinking about making this gigantic investment with, not a lot of knowledge of if it's going to succeed, because it absolutely can. I think be successful depending on the type of business. I think in service-based businesses, especially, it really is pretty possible to just start small and grow it.
as you're describing this, I want to make sure the audience doesn't have the impression that, you know, you and your sister now work out of booths or have small businesses or something that you just run. And I know you might think of it as still small and fledgling and growing, but it's a real business. And can you give people 18 employees is, you know, one indication of the size of the business. A lot of, a lot of my friends who are running small law firms don't have 18 employees, right? They might not make the revenue that you make too. I don't know. I don't know. But you guys, what are some of the indications that you could share with the audience about, you know, the size or how well the business is doing right now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so our first full year in business, I think Groovy Peach had a gross revenue of about $330,000, which blew my mind. And then the next year for a couple
people, you know, doing this on the side or after school, that nobody like that's fantastic. That's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the year after that, we did $1 million. And then we doubled that last year, just a little over 2 million. And then this year we are on track to probably hit about $3 million. And that's without adding a store. So if we get another store up and going, then that's going to help us.
And without debt, right? Like, or without significant, I don't know if you've taken on debt, but you, yeah, a lot of that was debt. Made possible because you saved the first 6 months of your uh-huh. income and you put it towards the future, right?
We saved the first 6 months and we continue to do that. My partner and I, we take home a really small amount of money every month. Now we do take some money out of the business, but it's not anything very high. We could take a lot more, but it's still important to me to grow off of retained earnings as much as we can. And there's conversations are a little different. You know, if we're at the point where I think we have some leaders in the business that we, a huge part of reason that we can't scale is having good leaders in the business that can open stores and mm-hmm. give the clients the experience that we need and not, and when we only had, you know, two stores and a handful of employees, developing a good amount of those employees to become really strong managers is a lot harder. And now with more time under our belts, we're set up to do that a lot better and more effectively.
You know, I'm glad you shared those numbers. Because I think they're impressive. And I think with the audience hearing those numbers, they're probably saying, oh, wow, I didn't realize that's what we were talking about here, that this was a business that was doing $2 or $3 million a year. 18 employees, three stores like that. Those numbers make sense. But when you put the numbers on it, I think it really emphasizes how well you're doing. Are you proud of what you've accomplished so far, Lindsay?
Yeah, I am. And I said this to you way earlier. I feel like we have so much still to do and we're such a young business and we're still earning our stripes. And, you know, there's a lot of other businesses that $2 or $3 million is, you know, absolutely just not that very much money.
But you're not judging yourself against those businesses, are you? I hope. Yeah. You're how many years into this now?
We're 3 years into this.
3 years into this, doing $2 million on your way to $3 million. Let's just pause and say that's fantastic.
Like, thank you,
Jeff. A lot of businesses, a lot of business owners, that is not their trajectory, right? And you're not VC backed. You know, you may not be on track to be a billion-dollar unicorn, but who cares, right? Like, you're building a sustainable business that is growing steadily and well. And so just kudos to you for what you've done. I think it's fair for us to acknowledge that, for you to acknowledge that and take that in and be proud of that moment.
Well, thank you, Jeff. That's so sweet of you. You know, like we have, it's really important to me that we have savings too. And that's a huge part of our cash strategy is that we have enough money in the bank. Should something catastrophic happen, another pandemic, who knows what could come along. There's just lots of things that at the end of the day, it's more important to me that the business that we have is sustainable and built really well and that we're not completely leveraged to the point where I can't sleep at night and I'm worried about, you know, what could happen. And I think when the time is right, we can think about, you know, better funding and growing faster, but I'm really happy with where we're at right now. So thank you. It means so much.
I love that. And it's well-deserved. So getting back to my other question, the unlock in your business, like what's made the growth possible? Is it that you hired the right people? Is it that you, you know, got lucky and found the right locations? Is it that you're just in the right market? Is it that you're fantastic in your supply, you know, buying low, selling high, you know, buying your products at the right price and selling them the right, like where's the magic here for you?
The magic is exactly the right people. I think that's the key, and everything else can still be improved that you mentioned. And that will always help us, but finding the right people that care about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and care to do it in a really thoughtful and kind way is always been the key for us. And we spend significant time filtering through lots and lots of, when we hire, we usually have anywhere from like 50 to 100 applicants. We get so many people that apply, and we spend a lot of time sifting through those and looking for people who are really aligned with our company values. And we have those defined really well. And all of us at Groovy Peach know what our values are and why they're important as a company and a culture. And every time that we interview and try to get to know people based off of who they are and how well we feel like their values intersect with our company values and how well they can live our values and give that experience to our clients, we succeed and win really well. So the people and making sure that the people that we hire are just fantastic makes it easy, and it helps us to avoid all sorts of interpersonal conflict at work, even though that stuff still can come up. It gives us an easier place to, find resolution from, because we all have a framework of language that we're familiar with and can work through together. And it's for sure the people that make everything possible.
Did you know this from the beginning? Like, was this just something that you're like, I knew from the beginning we had other right people, so we've just always done it this way? Or did you have to, is this something you learned, you know, more and more as you grew the business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that this is another probably breakout moment that I could share with you. So I think that, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, I think the values
experience
that we have is very, very reflective of the founders of me and Haley. And yeah, that is, I think, what from the start, it took us a few months in to realize that a lot of it was the magic of how we interact with people and care for them. And we had hired a couple of people who were just same as us, really aligned that way, and they were doing as great of a job as we were. And it was at that point that we hired a business coach. Mm-hmm. And it was a group of individuals that really helped us narrow in the values of our business and like putting names to them. And that was a breakout moment for us, that from there, I think we probably could have kept limping along and getting lucky, but I think over time the luck would run out, and it would be easier to, you know, hire people who were not quite as aligned. But under help, have working with a coach and somebody who had a lot of years of experience hiring and running businesses was really impactful for us to be able to put words around what made the experience in Groovy Peach special and how to capture that in new employees and individuals that wanted to contribute and be a part of what we were doing, for sure.
When you say put words to it, like when you, I think you said that twice in there. And the first time you said it, I thought, I took that as maybe you actually created avatars for the types of people you wanted to hire and gave them names. I'm not sure if that's what it was. And the second time you said it, what's an example of when you say putting words to it? What did that mean for you?
Well, okay, maybe that is nerdy, but I have done that exercise of putting avatars to people, and that's a more recent thing. Just for the exercise of what would the ideal Groovy Peach employee look like, and how would they present themselves, and you know, if they were in this situation, what would they do? And if we were meeting them for the first time, what types of things would they want us to know about themselves? I think it's worth the effort of, and it's, you know, similar to a client persona that you do in marketing. You want to understand who your client is. I think it's just as important to do that with with our employees here. Prior to the getting so crazy to make up avatars and personalities of imaginary people, it was just kind of drilling into the understanding the words of the values that shape us as a company, and there was a lot to choose from, but it was honestly pretty easy at the end of the day to pick the five that felt the most relevant and important, and then just focus all of our energy on living up to those values and finding people that embodied them naturally and very easily.
Is there one of those values that stands out to you? One that you maybe see more often, or you maybe see less often, and you love when you see it in the team?
Oh, I love that. Courage. Courage is one of those values. It's a personal value of mine too. I think it's so incredibly important to put yourself in a situation that may feel risky and to do something anyway. I feel really proud of some of our team members when they maybe make a mistake on a piercing and they're learning and it doesn't turn out exactly the way they wanted. And one way or another, someone usually knows about it. And I feel so proud when it's that person who has that hard conversation with the client, steps up and solves the problem on their own. That makes me really proud. And it's not uncommon, but every time I see it happen, I'm still just as proud as I was every other time.
Yeah, fixing mistakes. I mean, nothing better than to see people taking accountability of fixing mistakes. And you've raised a side question for me. I guess you let a mistake piercing grow in and you re-pierce it, you know, the right way later. Is it kind of that simple to fix?
Yeah, it's not always quite that simple. There's things that are different a little bit every time, because you're putting a hole in someone's body. And so sometimes it's a matter of picking a piece of jewelry that's going to heal a little bit better in that spot. Sometimes it's a matter of taking the piercing out altogether and just letting it heal and having to re-pierce. That's what happens a lot of the time. And that's a hard conversation to have.
Accountability, I'm sure.
And seeing people own up to mistakes, you know, everyone loves that and talks about it and cares about that. I think it's one thing that's probably in the medical field, you see this too. It's hard to do when people's money and their pain and their body is involved, and they have to think, like, a lot of people are really afraid to get a piercing and to hear that, okay, shoot, we need to redo this piercing. You have to do this all over again is a really tough thing for some people to hear.
But it's part of the experience on occasion, right? Like, you guys are experience based. If we could all have, you know, the ideal ways, we would never make mistakes. We would always do everything perfectly and everybody would be happy and they'd pay us a lot of money. And, you know, life would be different than real life actually is. So not to focus on any of that, but that's, you know, that's part of the experience in working with team members, part of the experience working with customers. And let's face it, we've probably all, if we look back at our own companies, we could say, gosh, I pierced that in the wrong place. I need to fix that in my business now, right? Little miss piercings. Am I making up a word right here? Piercing in my business that I need to let it grow in, or I need to, you know, adapt to what I've done and go from there. So
that's so true. Yeah.
So, well, hey, I want to ask before we wrap up here, because this is my maybe most curious question here, and that is, where in the world did the name Groovy Peach come from? Is there a story behind that?
I wish there was some awesome story. Sometimes I wonder if I should just make something up.
oh, now's your moment, Lindsay.
Okay. Won't be as good. Never mind.
I was traveling and just kidding.
Honestly, we wanted, so I used to be really into roller skating. It's so nerdy. My three daughters and I took professional roller skating lessons together. And at the time I loved it. I don't even roller skate anymore. I don't have time for it. I haven't had my skates on in over a year. It's really sad. but the word groovy to me has always like been closely related with roller skating, the type of music and the type of like vibe that we wanted to convey. A lot of piercing and tattoo shops that you go to, you know, the type that are maybe on like State Street are very like dark and serious and have a completely different vibe.
A lot of counterculture, if you will, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so it was just a matter of us putting our heads together and like spitting out a whole bunch of words. We loved like disco and orange, and it was just like a mood board of just putting so many different words together until we liked the way Groovy Peach sounded. And it felt like, you'll know this, it felt like really sticky as far as being able to remember the name. And there's a lot of people who they can remember Groovy or Peach. So if you go to Google and you type in like Groovy Piercing or Peach Piercing, will come up. And even if they can't remember the whole name, it's felt like a really smart word.
You've doubled or tripled your search results that way. I've never thought of it that way. Having two unique words relative to the service you provide, you actually just got more coverage. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to think about that.
Yeah, think about that one. It's so true. I cannot tell you the number of people over the years, and I'm so many, they're like, I couldn't remember your exact name, but I knew it had like Groovy in the name or Peach. And so I just typed in that. And we actually pay for those words, you know, to be
for your SEO and
SEO and everything. But and I can see the searches that people search, and a lot of times it's Groovy Piercing or Peach Piercing. And so it was we were looking for a name of a business that just felt like something that was really fun, that embodied what we were trying to do, and something that would be easy to remember.
I love it. What's the one name that you remember and you're really glad you did not pick? Is there one that stands? Is there one, something like that?
The other name that we're seriously considering was the Piercing Atelier, and that's a French word. And I still think it's so beautiful. I love it. I think the word atelier is spelled differently than it sounds, and it would be hard for people to.
What does it mean?
I think atelier, it's a French word for like, what does it mean? Like a unique shopping experience, I think. I'll have to actually Google it. I don't remember anymore.
But the words flow together. They sound really nice and eloquent.
Right? They do.
Yeah. Different from Groovy Peach, though. Groovy Peach, like, it sounds to me like you made the right choice.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. And it opened up, I mean, our color palette is so pretty, and it's so, like, dopamine coated. We have all the dopamine decor and colors, and people just love it. They come in there, and it's like, feels like Disneyland.
I love it. Do you have, on that note, because I was just thinking, you know, I think you get a lot of attention here in Utah. Do you have people come from out of state, or maybe, you know, a daughter who comes to visit her mom or vice versa, and they're like, hey, one of the places we want to go while we're in Utah is Groovy Peach. Are you guys becoming a destination?
So many. I feel like, you know, back in the day when Cafe Rio opened and you came home to visit your family in Utah, you had to go to Cafe Rio.
Yeah, yeah.
We get that all the time. People, they either just straight up will travel to see us from like Wyoming, they'll drive, or Idaho. But we've had people come from all over. And then there's a lot of people that it's a tradition that every time they're here in town for 4th of July or Christmas, they come with their sisters and family that live in Utah, and they all come to Groovy Peach and get a new piercing.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you? People who've listened to the episode, they're like, man, I want to find out more. Maybe come get a piercing. Where do they go? Aside from just telling them to search Groovy Piercing or Peach Piercing, what's the more direct route?
Yeah. So our website is groovypeach.com. And we're on Instagram and TikTok. If you search Groovy Peach Piercing Co., you'll find us there. And we have our three stores are in Bountiful and South Jordan and Orem.
I love it. And to finish this off, I'm gonna ask you a really easy question with a really hard answer, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. If you could describe in two or three words where you want to be in 5 years from now, what would you say?
Doing something new.
Doing something new. Okay, that's a mystery right there. So yeah. Doing something new. Is that doing something new with Groovy Peach? Or am I, maybe I'm violating my own rule by asking.
I know, I'm like, am I allowed to answer? I'm not sure. I ask I ask this question all the time in meetings with my team. At the end of the meeting, I say, and everyone, I don't know if they love it or hate it. It's probably mixed, but tell me in one word, how are you feeling? It's really hard, but I think. I think that's funny. I just got a taste of my own medicine because I love to ask that question. And I think that when you can like think about all of your feelings and distill it to one single word, it's really powerful exercise to go through because it's hard. Yeah, I think that is both doing something new with Groovy Peach and just other things in my life. I thrive, absolutely thrive in change and ambiguity. I think if I don't have that, I would be very feeling just really unfulfilled.
The life of an entrepreneur right there. Yeah. Living in the chaos, loving the chaos. So I can totally relate.
Yeah.
Well, Lindsay, this has been fantastic. Thank you for taking some extra time and doing this recording with me. I know you're super busy. You're growing something awesome. And I'm glad to be able to see the progress and get some updates once in a while from you. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff.
And for our audience who joined us today on the Breakout CEO podcast, thanks for joining us and we'll see you next time. Be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.